She just kind of snuck away from me. All right, if you brought with you this morning a copy of the Word of God, I do want to invite your attention with me, please, to the Old Testament. I want you to look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, we're going to read in just a moment or two, verses 12 through verse number 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through verse 15. I have the New King James Version of the Bible with me today. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through verse number 15. If you have found that portion of the Word of God, would you stand with me, please, as we honor God and we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, and if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened, and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place.'" Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. God, it has been so good to gather here to testify of our love for Jesus. God, it is great to have the opportunity to worship and to come to you. And Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity and granting us this privilege, God, to enter into your presence, Lord, to worship you. And God, we want our worship, God, to be acceptable in your sight. So Father, we give ourselves to that today. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today and open it up to us, God, so that we might see it. God, that we might truly see it in such a way that we would understand it, to apply it to our lives, and Father, to change. God, we recognize that we are a wandering people. We are a wandering nation that has drifted from you, Father. And we recognize that today. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness. To say, Father, would you forgive us from drifting far from you? And God, would you bring us back? I pray this morning, Lord, I pray as I stand here in front of these people, God, I want to be an instrument that can be used of you. So, Lord, I know that I need you. God, I know that I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I know that I need you to give me words that need to be shared. I know that I need you, Heavenly Father, to be able to open up this passage of Scripture and help us to truly see it. God, would you do that today? Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Father, give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How many of you have heard this nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You ever heard that nursery rhyme? Probably remember it from years and years gone by. But have you ever given any thought to what that nursery rhyme is trying to teach us? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I thought a little bit about that, and evidently Humpty Dumpty and Mrs. Dumpty were out on a date. And they decided they were going to go on a date, and after dinner that evening, they decided they wanted to go for a walk in town. Now, they were going for a walk in town, talking about how beautiful it was, and Humpty and Mrs. Dumpty came upon a wall. Now, Humpty wanted to impress Mrs. Dumpty, so he got an idea in his mind. He decided that he was going to climb up that wall. And so Humpty Dumpty climbed up the wall, and there he was, seated on top of the wall, looking down at Mrs. Dumpty, and something terrible happened. The whole earth shook. It shook so much that it knocked Humpty Dumpty off the wall. You remember, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And there Humpty Dumpty was lying on the ground, broken up in little bit of pieces, and Mrs. Dumpty came and run up to Humpty Dumpty, wanting to know what she could do to help her beloved husband. She tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but it was unsuccessful. She didn't know what to do, and so she decided that she was going to go to the government. The reason I know that she went to the government, because it says that all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so the government got involved in action, and they called Congress together, and Congress tried to pass a law, and Congress tried to write several bills to do something to solve the problem of poor old broken up Humpty Dumpty. And they were unsuccessful. And we are left with Humpty Dumpty being a broken up individual. Have you ever thought about what the moral of that nursery rhyme is? Really, it's this. The people that are supposed to be the ones to fix the broken up people are just as broken up as the broken up people are. You ever thought about that? The people that are the ones that are supposed to fix the broken up people are just as broken up as the broken up people are. You know, that's not God's design. That's not what God intended. That's not what God wants for you, and that is not what God wants for me. He doesn't want us to be like that. Now, I've read a passage of Scripture to you this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. When you look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, you will understand that it is a very famous portion of Scripture. And we understand what verse number 14 is, but we've never really considered it in the context in which it sets that what is going on in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through verse number 15. It is a powerful passage of Scripture that has something to say about how you put broken up people back together again. So I thought this morning that we are on the edge of an election, thinking about what can we do in our country to put things back together again. And I understand this, that no matter what happens on Tuesday, the answer does not lie in what happens on Tuesday. You know where the answer lies? The answer lies right here in the house of God this morning. We can have restoration. In fact, this passage of Scripture, I've given it the title, The Road to Restoration. And I want you to look with me this morning in this passage of Scripture, and I want to call four things to your attention today as we look at this passage, okay? As we look at this passage, I want to call to your attention four truths that we definitely can see from this passage of Scripture. And I want to start out this way. I want us to start out in verse number 13. And in verse number 13, what I want us to notice this morning, that in that verse of Scripture, it speaks to us about the reason for restoration. The reason for restoration. Notice what it says here in, let's read verse 12 and verse number 13. It says this in verses 12 and 13. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Then he says in verse 13, when I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Now, when you look at verse number 12 and you look at verse number 13, it speaks to us about the reason for restoration. It says in verse number 13 that there is going to come a time when God is going to shut up heaven. It says clearly, God is going to shut up heaven, there will be no rain, and he will command the locusts to devour the land, or he may send pestilence among his people. Okay? When you see those things, you certainly need to understand that we need restoration. Right? But here's what we don't understand, really, about what is happening in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. When you look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, you need to understand and recognize that Israel at this particular time, and that's who this passage of Scripture is addressing, basically Israel at this particular time, they were doing pretty good. You know, they were going through a period of time in their life where they were a blessed people. God was near to them, God was close to them, and they were living, spiritually speaking, pretty high on the hog, so to speak, in their relationship with God. If you understand what was going on in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, we know that the temple had just been completed. We know that the nation of Israel had just offered to God several sacrifices to ask God's blessing upon the temple. And we know that God did accept the sacrifices, right? God did come down and he did consume the sacrifices, and he did expressed to the nation of Israel, he said basically this: you guys have done pretty well. I know that you have built for me this temple, and I want you to understand that I recognize that you built for me this temple. I recognize it, and you want this to be a place where you can come and you can find me. This can be a place where you can go and you can enter into the relationship of God, and you will be able to find me there. And God says, I want you to know that I accept your offer. I accept your offer. I am pleased that you have built this temple for me, and I choose it for a house of prayer. When you come to pray, God says, you will find me when you come to pray at the temple, right? So spiritually speaking, things were going really well for the nation of Israel at this particular time. But then, even though things were going really well for the nation of Israel at this particular time, notice what it says in verse 13. In verse number 13, it gives to us a statement. It says there in verse number 13, when I shut up heaven. Now, do you understand what it says there? When I do this. So understand the context of what's going on. God is saying to the nation, things are pretty good right now. We are in a right relationship one with another. You have just worshiped me, and I have just accepted your worship. I have just chosen to be in your house in a very special way. But then he also says, I want you to recognize something, and I want you to understand something. Things are not always going to be as they are now. Okay? In verse number 13, he says, things are not always going to be as they are now. He says, when I shut up heaven. Notice that. It is a guarantee that God is going to arrive at the place where he literally shuts off his blessing from the nation. When I shut up heaven, there's no rain. Or when I send the locust in, and the locusts consume up everything. Or when I send a pestilence among my people. When you see these things that he is talking about in verse number 13, you need to understand and recognize that you need restoration. Right? Israel, even though things are going well now, they're not always going to go well. And if there ever comes a time when you see verse number 13 become a reality, you need to know and understand that you desperately need restoration. The reason for restoration. And I probably could spend the next several moments lamenting over where we are in the United States of America. We are at a place that we don't want to be, right? We are at a place where we certainly can understand, and we certainly probably should understand, that the hand of God's blessing does appear to be absent from our midst. It does appear as if we are going through a time in which we desperately need more and more and more of God, right? We need restoration. Okay, so the first thing that I want you to see here is the reason for restoration. What is the second thing that I see here? Well, the second thing I see here is this, the responsibility of restoration. Okay, notice your text. Keep your Bible open now, and notice with me what the Bible has to say. We see the reason for restoration in verse number 13, but in verse number 14, you see who is responsible for restoration. Notice what the text says. Now, we probably got verse 14 down. You probably have heard somebody quote verse number 14. You probably have seen a poster of verse number 14, but I real think we don't get it as of yet. But notice what it says. The text says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Did you catch that? If my people, which are called by my name. Who's that talking about? Is that talking about the person that is in our community that does not have relationship with God? Is that talking about the person in our community that has drifted far, far away from God? Is that who that's talking about? No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the person that is in covenant relationship with God. That's who it's talking about. If my people, those people that were in covenant relationship with God, they are the ones that would be responsible for revival. We are responsible for restoration. But we don't like that kind of preaching much. We like the idea that we're good. We like the idea that we've not drifted. We like the idea that we are just exactly where we need to be in our walk with God. I heard a long time ago that there was a mayor in a small Midwestern town that was a tall guy. And this mayor decided that he was going to have a tall man's parade. So he went into the town square and he set up a PA system and he took a tape measure out and he marked up on the nearest wall and he put a line on the wall and then he announced to everybody in the crowd, hey, I want you to know that on a certain date, we are going to have a tall man's parade. If you are a tall man, you're going to have your very own special day. We're going to give you a cash prize for walking in the tall man's parade. And everybody was excited, right? They wanted to walk in the tall man's parade. The first guy jumped up and he walked up to the mayor and he says, I want to walk in the tall man's parade. Can I do it? And he went over and he stood under the line that the mayor put on the wall. And the mayor said, I'm sorry. You don't measure up. You can't walk in the tall man's parade. The second guy came around, and he was taller than the first guy, and he told the mayor, I want to be in the tall man's parade. Can I do it? The mayor said, go ahead and measure up. He stood up under the line, and sure enough, he didn't make the line, and he too couldn't walk in the tall man's parade. Then there was the third guy, and he was the tallest guy yet. And he went up to the mayor and he said, Mr. Mayor, I would love to be in the tall man's parade. Can I do it? With a pumped up chest, he stood up next to that line and the mayor said this, I'm sorry, but you can't walk in the tall man's parade. The man got upset. What do you mean I can't walk in the tall man's parade? Are you kidding me? I'm much taller than the first person. I tower over that second person. What do you mean that I can't walk in the tall man's parade? The mayor said, you know, I'm not comparing you to that first person. I'm not comparing you to that second person. I'm comparing you to that mark on the wall, and you don't measure up. Do you not understand that we have a mark on the wall? And that mark on the wall was put there by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I recognize this morning, I don't measure up. I might measure up to contestant number one, and I might measure up to contestant number two. But when it comes to the mark on the wall, when it comes to Jesus, I don't measure up. And I need to get to a place where I deal with God. Who's responsible for restoration? I am. You are. Those of us that are in covenant relationship with God, God wants us to measure up. So we talk about the reason for revival. Secondly, we look at the responsibility for restoration. What's the third thing that we see here? Well, the third thing that we see here is found in verse number 14. And what I see in that, it's the route to restoration. You want restoration? You want it? God says, all right, I'll give it to you. He says, Israel, I know that things are going well for you right now, but if there ever comes a time in the future where you see that my hand of blessing is not upon you, if there ever comes that time in the future, this is what I want you to do. If there ever comes a time in the future where you see my hand of blessing has left you, this is how you get your hand, my hand of blessing back once again. This is the route that you take. This is what you do. And he lays it out here just as clear as it possibly can be. Notice what he says. The route for restoration is this. He tells us in verse number 14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. So the first thing that he tells us to do is to practice humility, right? To humble ourselves. What does it mean to humble yourself? To humble yourself means that you see yourself the way that the Lord sees you. To humble yourself means that you understand that in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not where we need to be. In comparison to the standard that God has given to us, we are not where we need to be. And we need to recognize that and understand that, to practice a little bit of humility. Instead of comparing ourselves to the person that is on the street that is not in covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't compare ourselves to that person. We compare ourselves with the King of Glory, Jesus Christ himself. And we understand truly where we are. And so he says, verse number 14, if you want to see restoration, the first thing that you do is to practice humility, he says in verse number 14. Continue to look at what it says. He says, humble themselves. And then the text says, and pray and seek my face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, comma, and then he says, and pray and seek my face, comma. So practice humility, right? That's number one. Practice humility is number one. What's number two? Pray. But pray and seek God's face. To pray seeking God's face. You ever, I admit, sometimes when I pray, it's as if I'm interested in building up the kingdom of Rick. You know, you ever pray that way? Maybe you don't, but I know that I do. God, I would like this. God, I would like that. God, would you do this for me? God, would you do that for me? God, would you meet all the needs that Rick thinks he has, right? And that's not the kind of praying that we need to do, right? The kind of praying that we need to do is praying, seeking God's face. God, what is it that you desire? God, what is it that you want? God, I want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Pray seeking God's face. So you want restoration? Number one, here's what God says to do. If you want restoration, number one, humility. Understand who you are in the overall grand scheme of things and know where you are in relationship with the covenant-cutting God, number one. Number two, pray seeking God's face. God, what is it that you want? God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then notice what it says. Verse number 14. If my people, Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, comma, and pray and seek my face, comma, then what does it say? It says next, and turn from their wicked ways. What's he talking about when he says that? And turn from their wicked ways. He's talking about repentance. Doing those things that you do in your life that are not God-honoring, that do not bring glory and honor to God, you stop doing those things. And you start doing those things that honor the Lord. To repent. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I look at this passage of Scripture, it doesn't seem overly complicated. Does it? I mean, to me, it seemed pretty simple. Pretty simply, God says, if you want restoration, this is what you do. I'm not talking about you do something to manipulate God, but it's simply God says this is the route to restoration. This is how you get it right here. Well, and you get it, according to verse number 14, by humbling themselves, pray, seeking God's face, and then turning from their wicked ways to repent. God, I'm sorry for all of those times that I have sinned against you. Oh, God, please forgive me for doing these things and help me to be victorious in regard to them. Lord, I know that what I do and I know that what I say and I know that how I live, God, sometimes that it does not honor you. And God, I am so sorry for that. Help me to stop it, Lord. Help me to do the right thing, to take the next godly step in my walk with you. I mean, that's not real complicated, right? What's the fourth thing that I want you to see? The fourth thing that I want you to see is this: the results of restoration. The results of restoration. Look at the end of verse number 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, what does he say next? He says this: then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God says this is the results. This will be the result of restoration. Forgiven sin and a healed land. Forgiven sin and a healed land. Forgiven sin and a healed land. Man, I want that. I want that. But here's the thing, okay? This is the thing. Do we have that? Probably not one of us in the room this morning would say, yes, we're right there. Probably every one of us in the room this morning would say, no, we're not where we need to be. You got your bulletin? You notice on the back of the bulletin for quite a while now, I've been putting a study guide, I've been putting a sermon outline on the back of the bulletin. So you want to know what I'm preaching on, you can turn to the back of the bulletin, and it tells you exactly what I'm preaching on. Exactly what I preached on today that we put on the overhead, we've also printed on the back of the bulletin. But notice what it says at the bottom. You might notice this, not only do I put my sermon outline on the bottom, but I always put what I call an inspirational quote. I take an inspirational quote from a person in history, and I always put that on the bottom of the back of the bulletin. So every week, you ought to get in, and you ought to turn to the back of the bulletin. It will help you follow along with what I'm going to be preaching, and you will see the inspirational quote that I put down there. And the inspirational quote that I put down this morning, and you have it on the back of your bulletin, is from a gentleman by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. Now, if you are a theologian, if you are someone from years gone by, you'll recognize the name Leonard Ravenhill because he was a great theologian from years gone by, a tremendous revivalist that God used in an incredible way. And so I put a quote from Leonard Ravenhill on the back of the bulletin, and it says this, and I quote, "The only reason why we don't have revival is because we are willing to live without it. The only reason why we do not have revival is because we are willing to live without it." I mean, right here in the Word of God, right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we have God's route to restoration. God says, if you want restoration, here it is. This is our roadmap. This is what you need to do. Do these things and you will have restoration. Do what it says and restoration will come. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Do we have forgiven sin? And do we have a healed land? Well, you probably know the answer to that. But I want you to notice one more thing with me this morning in this passage. Pay attention to verse 14 again. It says, okay, God says, this is the route to restoration. This is what it is. Just as clear as ABC. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then notice what it says. In my Bible, it says, next it says, then. And in my Bible, if you wanted to look at it, you can see that I've got that circled. I have circled, then I will hear. Then I will hear. So what is God saying? God is saying that I am looking for you to do these things. Just the very moment that you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear. God is saying, like, I'm watching and I'm waiting and I'm looking for you to do what I've spoken to you about doing. Let me show you how important this is. Drop down and look at verse 15. Notice what verse 15 says. It says this, "Now my eyes shall be opened and my ears shall be attentive to the prayer made in this place." God says, my eyes are open and my ears are attentive. God says, I'm watching and I'm listening for my people to humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, seeking my face. You know what I know today? On this good November morning, I know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And I know that we're in a place where we're going to have an election coming up. An election is coming up. Did you guys know this? It's coming up on Tuesday. Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the morning, somebody is going to step out in the public square and they're going to say, hear ye, the polls are now open. And the people are going to have the opportunity to vote. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to come together and they're going to vote. They're going to vote for their preferred candidate of choice. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock, guess what's going to happen? Hear ye, the polls are now closed. And the polls will be closed. And then the vote will be counted. And we may know who wins the election Tuesday night. And we might wake up on Wednesday morning with a new elected leader. But you know what else I also understand? On Wednesday morning, Jesus is going to be Lord. Jesus is Lord right now. Jesus is going to be Lord on Tuesday, and Jesus is going to be Lord on Wednesday. What does God want us to do about it? God wants us to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. And if we do that, God says, I will hear your prayers. And I will forgive your sins. And I will heal your land. And just because we didn't get it in verse 14, he says it again in verse 15. He says, now my eyes are going to be open. And my ear, it's going to be listening for the prayer that is made in this place. It's almost as if the Lord is looking over the portals of glory and he's saying, come on, church! Do it! Do it! Do it! Do what I've asked you to do. And if you'll do that, you'll have restoration. But if we don't do that and we stay adrift, now, we've come to the end of my sermon. We've clearly looked at a passage of Scripture. And hopefully, clearly, we understand what God would have us do. But this is where the rubber meets the road. Will we do what God asks us to do? If we do, God promises restoration. But if we don't, we will stay spiritually adrift. And being spiritually adrift is not where we want to be. So what should we do? We ought to get on our face. We ought to get on our knees and pray for God's blessing in our life. And as a result of that, God's blessing in our nation. So, what's a fine bunch of folks like us doing in a mess like this? Could it be because we just don't want to do what God asks us to do? May that never be my story. May that never be your story. Let's all put God first and recognize that He is Lord. So, Brother Chuck's going to come. Pianist is going to play Miss Judy. We're going to give us an opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to us about. What ought to happen is that we ought to be praying to our Heavenly Father this morning. This altar ought to be full of people that is recognizing where they are in their walk with Jesus and recognizing where our nation is. That you are praying for personal restoration, personal revival, and you are praying for national restoration and national revival. That's what God wants us to do. Will we do it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this.